You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Shot blocked. Porzingis with his fourth projection. Courtney Lee for three.
Beasley lines up. Ntilikina.
What he does is contagious. He comes in touches.
And across the lane. Baker launches. Jack to Porzingis. Fires up the ball.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of explaining, complaining, and entertaining. I'm your host, James Mastina, a.k.a. the Provolone Ranger, a.k.a. Tom Gaba Gugliotta. A.K.A. Rigatoni Douglas. You may know me as NBA Injury Report on Twitter. And this is episode 342. Woo! It's a lot of sodes. We're going to talk about all kinds of stuff today. It was Media Day in New York on Monday. I'm going to tell you guys what I thought about Media Day. It's by and large sort of a useless thing, but there is some interesting stuff that we get from it. I thought the Knicks really seemed unified in their praise of Fizdale in a way that went beyond just saying it because they had to. I think they're into him. I'm going to tell you why. I think that I liked the approach that people are taking to Kristaps Porzingis' injury. I love the budding friendship between Frank Ntilikina and Mario Hezonja. Enes Kanter is ridiculous. We'll talk about that. Lots of fun stuff there. I'm going to catch you guys up on some key dates coming up now that the season is starting. When is preseason? When is the regular season start? Just a quick refresher now that we're getting started. And I'm going to tell you my thoughts on the Joakim Noah contract situation and the news that the Knicks are absolutely going to buy him out in some way, shape, or form in the next couple of days. I'm going to give you the best case scenario of how you can look at this in a way that the Knicks are doing the right thing, even though it is definitely questionable. Before we start the show, a couple of updates. We are back, baby. We're in the preseason, officially. Training camp is starting on Tuesday, so we are doing 5 days a week. I want to welcome new listeners to the show. We grew a lot during the offseason. I expect that to continue throughout. Gets a little weird sometimes here. We got some inside jokes, but mostly it's just, you know, me cultivating a hopefully fun, hopefully entertaining conversation around the Knicks, and I think you'll enjoy it. Stick around. Quick reminder, we do voicemail bags on this show. I'm going to try to do them once a week, see how that goes. The number is 929-377-5103. Call it up. Leave me your thoughts on the Knicks. Ask me questions. We will get it into a voicemail bag. It's great to hear your guys' voices. I love doing these. Once again, 929-377-5103. All right, let's start the show. Hit it, boss.
Yes.
Now, I know for a lot of people, Media Day sort of sneaks up on them. Out of nowhere, they're waking up, they're thinking it's a Monday morning, just like any other morning, and then they're like, whoa, there's all these Knicks in uniforms. So, I don't want you to panic. You haven't missed anything yet, we're just getting started. Before we talk about Media Day, I want to give you a little of an orientation for the next couple weeks, tell you what you can expect schedule-wise out of the Knicks and the NBA in general. So, some key dates just coming up. Training camp begins on Tuesday, which is probably today, if you're listening to this, the day this episode comes out, September 25th. Then preseason games start on September 28th. The Knicks play six total of those. Their first preseason game is not September 28th, so don't get too hyped. It's October 1st against the Wizards. Their final preseason game is October 12th against the Nets and budding superstar Allen Crabbe, of course. So from October 1st to October 12th, the Knicks will play six preseason games. That's pretty exciting, right? Pretty close. The first regular season game, which is also the home opener, I always like when that happens, is October 17th against the Atlanta Hawks and Trae Young. Now, I have to hate Trae Young because he's the enemy now, and Frank is going to swallow him whole, you know, without a doubt. But just warning you guys that I will occasionally stand for Trae Young throughout this season, because I was very high on him pre-draft, and the cardinal sin of sports media is not standing incredibly hard for your takes, no matter how ill-informed they may be. for your entire life until you can't stand any harder or until they're proven 100% wrong, and then you pretend you never had those takes. So I'm going to be standing for Trae Young. But to wash that taste out of my mouth of, ugh, like speaking well about another player, I just want to remind you that Atlanta, who the Knicks opened at home against on October 17th, still has the worst crowd in the NBA. And I'd also like to remind you that Kent Bazemore is in the third year of a $70 million contract that is absolutely worse than Tim Hardaway's. And yet no one talks about it because the media has an anti-New York bias. All right, that's it for orientation. Speaking of the media, let's talk about Media Day. But before we do that, I want to talk to you guys about something that's very important to me and my life. And that's attending live events. You know, whether it's music or sports, they're just a critical component of the human experience. And I'm not lying about this. Just the other week, I went to see Paul Simon at the Prudential Center with my fiance. Shouts to you, babe. Love you. Paul Simon was on her bucket list. You know, Kodachrome, one of his solo joints, is perhaps her favorite song of all time. You know, it's something she's loved since she was a child. And I got to witness her joy at seeing one of her all-time favorites live and in person, possibly for the last time. It was his alleged farewell tour. We know how those go, right? A lot of times it's a lie, you know what I'm saying, right? But we couldn't have enriched our lives on this earth without having gotten tickets first. And where do you get those tickets? Well, if you're anything like me, you go to Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is the best place to find tickets to any and all live events. I just mentioned music, but you guys probably like sports, right? You're listening to a Knicks podcast. They got some theater johns in there, to use some Philly slang. Fuck Philly, it's a terrible city. But you name it, Vivid Seats has got it. Now, what I want you to do is get the Vivid Seats app, wherever you get apps. You're smart. You're not an idiot. And when you purchase seats for the first time on Vivid Seats, use the code LOCKEDON, and you will receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. Like I said, if you're a first-time customer of Vivid Seats, and $200, you spend that easy. That's like one seat obstructed, like literally in the ceiling of Madison Square Garden. Can't even see the game. That's $200. So, you know, this will come in handy quickly. Just go to the App Store, Google Play, download Vivid Seats app, enter promo code LOCKEDON to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. All right, let's talk about Media Day. I want to give you guys five key takeaways of Media Day. Now, what is Media Day? Well, we've heard from the front office a lot lately on not one but two separate occasions. First, during a town hall meeting with the fans. Then during a formal press conference with the media. And during those two separate occasions, the front office has flexed their cliche spouting chops. You know, it was impressive on some level how bland they were able to keep it. That's pretty much the goal of these things. Don't give us sharks any chum to churn the waters with, right? But that wasn't Media Day. Today was Media Day, Monday, the day I'm recording this. And that's a completely different animal, where instead of the front office vomiting platitudes, it's the players who get their chance. You guys know this because you're smart, you listen to Locked On Knicks. In many ways, Media Day, and to varying degrees, athlete press interactions in general, they're exercises in obfuscation. They're clinics in concealment. We want athletes to say something interesting, but they want to leave without saying anything interesting at all. Because saying things that are interesting doesn't help them win games, and that's what they're judged on, right? And when they say something interesting, sure, a lot of the times it's harmless, and we're like, haha, that's kind of funny, whatever. But a lot of times, it leads to us picking at their carcasses, like, who does that? Crows? Jackals? You know what I mean? So they don't want to say anything interesting at all, lest the 24-hour news cycle picks their bones clean while waiting for the next innocuous non-controversy to take its place. This is, in some ways, the contract we have entered into with athletes, and it is sacred. That being said, there were some interesting tidbits that came out of Media Day. Nothing earth-shattering, necessarily, unless you think Enes Kanter's nipples can shatter the earth when they are erect. More on that in a moment, unfortunately. But there were some interesting things nonetheless, so I would like to present to you five key takeaways from Knicks Media Day with a few choice audio snippets to spice things up a little bit. But before we get started, I just have one thing I want to say about this whole thing. Something that actually did upset me quite a bit, even though this was, on the whole, excellently bland. It is an outrage on par with the fact that we don't have a four-day work week yet. I don't know if that's exactly what I want to say, but it's amongst the greatest outrages of all time that Ron Baker did not speak at Media Day. You know, I know, he may not know how to salt the pasta water. It's a deep cut. If you're new, welcome. We have jokes about the fact that Ron can't cook. You'll catch up. Don't worry about it. But, you know, I love Ron just the same. That scrappy, dumb-haired bastard. They deprived us of Ron, and for that, I will never forgive them. Just had to get that off my chest. Let's get to the five key takeaways. First key takeaway. It does seem to me like the guys really like David Fizdale. The way they talk about him is just very different from how they talked about Hornacek. Yes, it's Media Day. And like I just said, you know, no one's going to say anything bad about anyone. They're not going to be like, well, I have my worries about Fizdale, but, you know, I'm willing to give him a shot. Even if they do think that, right? They're not going to say that. But I just want to let you guys in on something. I consider myself what they call an amateur expert in body language. Who they are, don't ask that. But they say that I am what they call an amateur expert in body language and just reading people in general. And the people up there on the dais, the new Knicks, the old Knicks, they seem to really mean it to me when they complimented him and when they said how much they enjoyed being around him. I'm going to talk about this more in a little bit, but they parroted back his language a lot, which I don't just think was like the PR, you know, flackies training them what to say. I think it was them buying into what he has to say. So just from a sort of very pop psychology standpoint, I liked what I saw out of everyone seeming to be energized by the hiring of David Fizdale. The second key takeaway is that they're not going to rush back Kristaps Porzingis. Now, we already knew this. They've already said it. But players aren't always on that same page when it comes to when they're supposed to come back from injuries. We've seen this with Kawhi Leonard. A little bit of a different situation. But you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes they think they shouldn't come back. Sometimes they think they should come back before the front office does. And there seems to be harmony there between the two. To an extreme degree, actually. You know, he didn't even say something like, well, yeah, I'd really like to be back by Christmas. If I can, Christmas means a lot to me. He didn't pull some Carmelo Anthony that was like, I gotta play in the All-Star game. You know what I mean? Let's bring in some audio. I'm gonna play you a clip of how Kristaps Porzingis put it himself.
Kristaps, I know you said you're itchy to get back and hungry to get back. Is there a scenario in your mind where you might sit out the whole season if you're not feeling 100% by February or so?
It's really hard to say. There's no timetable, as I said, and I'm going to be back when I am healthy and medically cleared, you know, and whenever that is, that's when it's going to happen.
So, yeah, I mean, he's not even ruling out missing the entire season, which I don't want him to miss the entire season necessarily, although it would be good for the tank. But I just appreciate that he's of the mindset that it is whenever he's ready, he's ready. And on that point, something else interesting he said during his portion of Media Day was that there's really no established protocol for a 7'3" unicorn getting his ACL repaired and returning to the NBA. So it's very difficult to say when he should be back. You know, a lot of people said, well, Jabari Parker, he missed this amount of time, and NBA player X missed this amount of time. But this is a unique situation. You know, he's not Jabari Parker. He's not whoever else you want to throw out there. He's KP, and we need to just give him time to heal up, to let the Knicks tank roll on this season. It's a totally unique situation, and I'm glad that they see it that way. And while we're on Kristaps, I just gotta say, it was great to see him in a uniform for the first time in what feels like forever. You know, even if it'll be the last time we see him in a uniform for months and months and possibly the entire season. But it was a nice reminder of like, oh yeah, this is what we're looking forward to coming back. It can be hard to remember that sometimes during the long slog of, you know, what promises to be an up and down first half at least of the season and during the offseason when no games are happening. But seeing KP in his uniform, it was a sight for sore eyes, to borrow a very old person's phrase. In addition, it was great to see him out there as the first guy. Just another nice reminder that he's still the most important part of this team and that everything should revolve around him getting the absolute maximum out of himself, right? Takeaway number three. Frank and Mario Hezonja are BFFs forever and ever. Here's what Mario Hezonja had to say about our beautiful, sweet baby Frank Ntilikina.
Did you spend some time with Frank, and what's the chemistry that you guys have or could have with more playing time together?
Probably the guy that is closest to me since day one, Summer League 2. We connected right away. Very outstanding guy, like amazing. His work ethic, his, if I can say, seriousness about the basketball for his age is unbelievable. Work ethic, I already say. I'm happy to talk to him. I'm happy to tell him the things that happened to me. I'm happy to tell him the things that possibly can happen, but I don't want them to happen to him. So I'm definitely taking him under my wing, if I can say that. I'm not that older than he is. But yeah, I mean, I'm there to help him, and I'm not going to let anything distract him, and I'm not going to let anything put him down. You know, because I mean, I know how bottom feels, so I will help him a lot. That's my guy, 100%. I love that guy.
First of all, doesn't Hezonja seem like the ultimate sweetie pie? He just got this good, positive vibe to him. I like the way he carries himself. I don't think his problem is lack of. He isn't just amateur, professional armchair pop psychologist. He seems like a guy who wants to figure it out. That's what I'll say about this, you know, 2 minutes of audio that I got to hear out of him today. He just seems like a nice guy. I look forward to rooting for him this year. I'll put it that way. And I love to hear him talking about Frank's work ethic and his seriousness. Because Frank, you know, he needs to keep developing that offensive game, as we've talked about. And I believe that he can. But that's serious, I'm telling you, he's going to be Kawhi Leonard with an actual soul. I know that's ridiculously lofty. I know that's the outlier prediction. I know it's probably not going to happen, but I feel like something special is in store for him. I'm sorry. I don't want to get you too jacked up, but that's how I feel. Don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but that's how I feel, you know? That seriousness, he wants to work at his craft. You know, while we're on the topic of Frank, he did say in another portion of the press conference that he said he was thinking too much last year and it brought his confidence down, which is something that we all sort of figured, but it was good to hear him say that. And, you know, it's understandable that hesitating could have cost him aggressiveness, right? That makes sense. And I think he's fully aware of what his issues are and how he needs to address them. So people don't always cop to what their weaknesses are in life, but especially in professional sports. And Frank does, you know, so does he have the ability to address all those weaknesses? How much can he address them? That's a question that you can disagree on. You know, obviously, I think he's got that ability to address these weaknesses and to greatly improve on them. But the first step, which people don't always make, is admitting that there's a problem. And Frank does that, you know. Speaking of confidence, here's a little tidbit of Frank sounding confident as fuck. Part of my Italian.
I was just wondering what your thoughts were on Coach Fizdale saying you could guard the positions 1 through 4. We know one, the point guard, the shooting guard, small forward position would probably be okay, but how do you feel about guarding guys that are potentially much bigger than you with the power forward if need be?
I feel great about it. As I say, I've been working a lot on my body, And I've seen also last year that a combo plays like switches defensively, where I've been guarding a big man. I mean, I can deny them to score on the post. And of course, as a competitor and as a defensive player, I will never say no. I can't guard him. I can't guard him. So right now, I feel comfortable about it.
You hear that? I feel great about it. My boy's a truck, 15 pounds of muscle, an extra inch and a half of height. I just got a scooter toot my own horn here, too. We talked about Frank and him sticking capably with fours on some switches last year. We've talked about it on the podcast a bunch. And turns out we're not the only ones who noticed. Frank said that. He said, yeah, I got switched on to big guys last year, and I was fine. And now I'm this tank that just keeps on growing. So what do you want me to say about it? I can guard anyone. I'm the man. And yeah, him and Hazonia becoming friends is just delightful to me. And I like that Hazonia believes in Frank, wants to pick him up. The way he said, I know how bottom feels, kind of broke my heart a little bit. I feel like he's Enes Kanter if Enes Kanter weren't the most annoying guy ever. More on that in a bit. Takeaway number four. The guys just seemed prepped for a shitty year, but pumped for youth and development in a way that was encouraging to me. Here's Kevin Knox talking about the upcoming season.
Kevin, well, a lot of people still think the Knicks probably have another year of rebuilding left. You've talked about the playoffs. You said that's your goal is to win. What would you say to people that think this team still has another year left before it's ready to start winning?
I mean, yeah, we have a new coaching staff, a new front office, a lot of young guys. I mean, we see the potential that a lot of us players have, but I mean, there's nothing wrong with rebuilding. I mean, a lot of guys talk about it. I mean, we just want to keep getting better every single game. We're going to come out and play hard every single game, compete, no matter how long it takes. I mean, we're going to have the right mentality that we want to make the playoffs every year. That's the mentality we're going to have in the locker room. We don't really not really worried about rebuilding or nothing like that. We know we have a lot of young guys. It's going to take time, but, I mean, that's not going to affect us from going out every night and playing hard and competing.
So you hear that? He said there's nothing wrong with rebuilding, too. Now, he talked a ton about making the playoffs also, right? But it's important that these guys understand what's going on. On the one hand, of course, you don't want them giving up before the season starts. You want to cultivate a culture where, you know, competitiveness is prized above all else, basically, right? It's professional sports. But you also don't want them honestly thinking that they're going to win a championship this year, because that's setting yourself up for failure. It's setting unrealistic goals and expectations. And, you know, this is kind of a continuation of what I said before about the players buying into Fizz. But I think Fizz is doing a good job of setting expectations with them. You see this in the way they all toe the company line and they use a lot of his same expressions over and over again. You know, don't put me in a box, stuff like that. I think they're all on the same page there in a way that I think is going to be good and I think they're going to need as they struggle this upcoming season. Talking about being prepped for this year, but also being pumped for the youth, continuing this takeaway. Courtney Lee said that Kevin Knox may be the face of a franchise someday. A little cryptic. I hope you're not trying to steal Kevin Knox away from us, Courtney Lee, but that's a big thing to say. And Courtney Lee, you know, I've complained about him as a Knick on this podcast, but I do think he's a smart guy. I think he does have a fairly high basketball IQ. He's been in this league a long time, and I think he understands that you don't want to put these kind of expectations on guys if they can't handle them or if they're not warranted. If someone's not that good, do you want to say, yeah, he can carry a franchise? And then people are asking this guy about, you know, this year and next year, like, do you think you let Courtney Lee down by being a bum? You know, I'm exaggerating the way the circumstance would play out to make a point, but that point stands, and that's, I don't think people would say something like that, especially someone like Courtney Lee, who I think is pretty smart, unless he didn't mean it. I think it's another reason to be pumped for Kevin Knox. Speaking of the older guys, so to speak, being pumped for the younger guys, Trey Burke, a little bit older than some of these other guys, still very young himself, was just obsessed with Mitchell Robinson and what he saw out of him this summer. I'm going to play the audio for you guys of him talking about Mitchell Robinson right now.
Trey, talking about getting guys the ball, what's your reaction to Knox and Mitchell Robinson and what they bring?
Man, I'm excited. Very excited about those two. Everyone obviously seen what what Cav did in summer league, which is still, you know, a small measuring stick. The potential is definitely there. You know, his ceiling is very high, but I don't think everyone realizes, you know, how much Mitchell is going to bring to this team. I got a chance to play with him at Open Gym, and I was shocked a little bit. You know, his ability to just get a rebound off of the rim, just go right back up and just dunk it, reminded me of like a young, you know, and this is high praise, reminded me like a young Shaquille O'Neal, just with, you know, skinnier. You know, he literally caught the ball, the rim was right here, he just jumped back up without dribbling and just, you know, monkey dunked it. You know, me seeing a rookie do that, I was like, man, this kid can be great. So I'm very excited to play with those two.
I mean, Shaquille O'Neal is a pretty good player. That's a bit much, but I swear to God, if you didn't get a chance to look at Trey Burke while he said this, if you didn't get a chance to look at Trey Burke while he said this, it was like the eyes were popping out of his head while he was thinking about Mitchell and his athleticism and his instincts. And he just, you know, he was pumped for Mitchell. I'm pumped for Mitchell. I think everyone as a whole, as you listen to them, lots of guys whose clips they haven't played when they talked about this season, they seem to all sort of know the score. Like, it's the tanking thing is interesting because people now think of tanking sometimes. Sometimes people think of tanking as just like actively trying to lose on every level, right? Like, coaches are playing bad lineups. Players are throwing games. They're signing bad players. But I think you can tank, and this is what I mean when I say, like, this is a tanking season for the Knicks, in a way where you're prioritizing development over winning as many games as possible. And that's different than trying to lose. Because you can do that within a framework of trying to win games and playing hard and coaching well and signing good players. But what you're prioritizing is, you know, just making sure the young guys that you have on your team are getting the reps they need, are being put in positions that they need to be put in order to understand what it's like to play in pressure situations, for instance. There are teams that are more egregious with this and awful. I think the Knicks do a good job of skirting that line and not trying to wring necessarily every game out of a season, you know, maybe not Jeff Hornacek, but the way they set the team up. And I think that's what they're going to do this year. And I honestly look forward to it because I think the most important thing for them this year is to maximize the development of the youth. No surprise there if you've been listening to the show for a little bit, but sometimes it bears repeating, right? Fifth takeaway of this media day is that Enes Kanter remains Enes Kanter. Let's just hit the audio.
Enes, what have you thought of Kevin Knox kind of mentioning playoffs and how that's obviously... that's a goal of his, you know. There's a lot of talk about this is a rebuilding season, but he seems pretty confident that you guys can at least contend for the playoffs. What's your reaction to that?
I like it a lot, man, because I've been in the playoffs before, and then that should be everybody's goal. You know, it's the playoffs. When I think about playoffs, my nipples get hurt. I'm sorry. That's the thing, man. It's the playoffs. That's what we play for. You know what I mean? But, all the joke aside, man, I think we have a really young group of guys. They're willing to learn. And then, I mean, a rookie coming out and saying, I want to make the playoffs, that shows me a lot. That shows me that every day we need to go out there, put that work in, and then try to be our best to, you know, just go out there and fight. We are not going to win every game. We know this. We are not going to be perfect every position. But the most important thing is just go out there, try to do your best, give yourself 100%, and take your teammate to the next level. You know, my question is, how can I make my teammates better? How can I make the young guys, rookies, better? That's going to take us to the next level.
All right. I mean, what do you want me to say? Like, on some level, it's annoying that he keeps drawing attention to himself like this, but I loved him talking about his nips. What do you want from me? I don't know. You know, I hate that stupid "make the Knicks great again" hashtag that he keeps using, appropriating that demon Donald Trump's hashtag. But Enes Kanter adds some spice. He adds some spice to the proceedings, even if that spice is super basic, like oregano. Although, I mean, I do love oregano. Maybe that's not quite right. I need a spice that's kind of annoying
and only enjoyable under very limited circumstances. Like, is smoked paprika, would that count? Maybe Old Bay? Nah, I mean, Old Bay is limited, but I love Old Bay too much. I'll keep workshopping it and get back to you, but at the very least, Enes Kanter, he does lighten up the proceedings, as stuffy and as boring as they can be, and as a media type, I appreciate that. So shouts to Enes Kanter. Alright, I think that's it for Media Day stuff. Just want to remind you guys that you're listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day. Okay, let's talk about some Joakim Noah news. Hopefully we only have to talk about this one more time, and then we can put it in the rearview mirror forever and ever. He will reportedly reach a buyout agreement in the next few days, and he was excused from Media Day. Here's the money quote. After warring with Hornacek last January, causing his all-expenses-paid banishment, Noah connected this summer with new coach David Fizdale. It was agreed he wouldn't be a good fit because he sought playing time and wanted to be part of a playoff contender. That quote comes from Mark Berman of The Post. It will be extremely interesting to see how much money Joakim Noah gives back. As far as I'm concerned, the Knicks are doing him a favor on every level. They did nothing wrong by him at all. And from all accounts, they could have suspended him without pay after the Hornacek incident. So I hope he doesn't fight them tooth or nail over every cent. I think he's certainly gotten, while I am extremely pro-labor generally and anti-ownership taking money back from anyone under any circumstance, I think Joakim Noah got a fair compensation for his like 23 minutes of playing time over the past two seasons. And I think he owes it to the organization, who is going to cut him free to reclaim the final few years of his career, to help them out a little bit with regards to the salary cap. It's a tough reality of the game, but it is what it is, right? So people are going to want to panic about this. Let me just phrase this in as positive a light as possible. If you're looking for reasons to think that the Knicks know what they're doing, which it does seem like they do since Mills and Perry have taken over, here's what's going on. If you want to think the Knicks know what they're doing here by stretching Joakim Noah, which does, I agree, seem like a very Knicksy move of the past, right? You want to think that the combination of the following factors makes this worth it, okay? First factor, eliminating the distraction of his presence would, you know, in, under this best case scenario, allow the team to just function on a higher level. Without this distraction, everyone feels more comfortable. They can focus on the task at hand. And we've talked about player development being the key to this season. And that will be able to continue and be and run its course in the most optimal way by having Joakim Noah not around to muck up the works, to get in guys' heads, to sow discontent, to maybe foment resurrection against new coach David Fizdale, right? We don't know exactly what's going on behind the scenes. You also are probably hoping that Noah was a little bit more disruptive than the Knicks are letting on. That's kind of what you're... That's one of the things that you're hoping is going on here, and that the Knicks are being classy about it and just giving him the boot without talking about it. You're hoping that's part of it, I think, if you're thinking that the Knicks know what they're doing here. You are... the combination, like I said, of the following factors makes it worth it. Another factor would be they are, quote-unquote, doing right by a player who wants to actually play, even though he's not part of the Knicks' plans. So hopefully that will help improve the Knicks' standing in the league, both with agents and with players alike, two very important entities, of course. You're hoping that the extra roster spot that Noah will give up once he is jettisoned is valuable to help the Knicks churn through players, hoping to find a diamond in the rough, rather through young up-and-comers or reclamation projects who are still hopefully pretty young. And lastly, I think you're hoping that the cap space will be valuable this upcoming offseason. There's kind of no ways around that. Although you could make the argument that the three things I just mentioned, eliminating the distraction, doing right by the player, and that extra roster spot, you know, if those are valuable enough, they don't need the cap space, right? But in an ideal world, it's if those things aren't that important, I hope they do use the cap space smartly, you know, this upcoming offseason, because it would be pretty disappointing if they didn't use that cap space and stretched him, and then they'd be able to just get off the books by holding on to him for one more year. But this is like this weird circular logic that you can't get out of, and
I guess what you really, now that I hear myself, you know, I've thought about this a ton, and I've written it down a ton, and now that I hear myself say it, I guess what you're really hoping is that the cap space is just a secondary benefit, and that this makes sense for all those other reasons. And the one thing I will say is it is entirely possible that that kind of thing, in terms of doing right by Joakim Noah, quote-unquote, does go a long way towards changing the front office perception. And we've heard over and over throughout the years how guys would just never play for the Knicks, what a joke, blah, blah, blah. And if this is the sort of thing that helps that get back on track, then it's hard to quantify, you know, how much that is worth. And let's talk about the worst-case scenario. And that's that this $6 million, or less, depending on how much he gives back, that they'll be paying him in 2020, 2021, and 2022, comes back to bite them in the ass in being unable to either retain guys or sign guys. But how big a hit is that really, if you're really worried about it? I don't love this. I don't like having the dead cap. It does feel sort of hasty to me, but I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And how big a hit is it really? So you're paying the full salary of him for this year, the 2018-19 season. Right, we'll call this the 2019 season for brevity. Then after that, it's stretched for the next 3 years. So the 2020 season, the salary cap is $109 million. That's a projection for the 2020 season. $6 million is 5.5% of the cap. In 2021, the projection for the salary cap is $118 million. $6 million is 5% of the cap. In 2022, we don't have a projection, but hopefully it's a little bit more than $118 million, and then $6 million is less than 5% of the cap. This is the kind of thing, it's like a minimum contract, right? It's these guys who have no effect, who are end-of-bench guys, make that kind of money. So maybe instead of signing someone who is a little bit better than absolute trash, to be mean about it, and spending $5 million on them, you're spending $1 million on someone who, like, maybe almost no one else wants in the NBA. And is that worth it, just to get rid of the distraction for Noah and to change the perception of the Knicks and for the extra roster spot? You can make an argument. You got to hope that there's stuff going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. That's how you take a best-case scenario view of this whole thing. Hopefully, this is pretty much the last time I ever have to talk about Joakim Noah. All right, that's it for us for today. Thank you so much for listening to Locked On Knicks. If you've got a moment, rate us on iTunes. 5 stars, please. Subscribe to the show if you have not already. Listening to it is good. Subscription is also good. It helps with our advertisers, helps us grow. We'd appreciate it if you subscribe. Tell your friends about the sensation that is Locked On Knicks. We're trying to grow this audience, as you know. Lots of new listeners every day, but we're greedy. We want more. Follow us on Twitter, at Locked On Knicks, for bonus takes and general camaraderie. You can follow me on Twitter, at NBA Injury Report, for jokes and jokes and jokes about basketball. Be chill to each other. Spay into your pets. If it's yellow, it's mellow. If it's brown, flush it right down. Always salt the pasta water. Take that. For data, Biggie's better than Pac. Peace.